It is so good to be here together this morning, isn't it? To celebrate the fact that Jesus rose again. I don't know about you. Not sure if you struggle to perceive how incredible it is. Think about it. This is the God that created our whole universe. I don't know if you've ever had an operation or spent time looking at the human body. Just amazing the way it works, the way it functions. And then you go outside of that and you look at the things around us. You travel through the countryside, all the different vistas of trees and mountains and oceans and deserts, and the beauty is incredible. This is the Creator who created all of that. Then you go outside of that again, and you look at our Earth and how that's formed and the way we have a gravitational force and our relationship to the sun and the way that we rotate and we get our days, and you go, there's no way this happened by chance. Our Creator God made all that. Then you go outside of that and you look at the rest of the universe and you go, oh, it's amazing, isn't it? This God who created all that loved us so much. In fact, He created this whole world. This whole thing you see before you and us to share in His life. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit enjoyed that relationship between them. And in Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that before time began, they determined that they were going to create a people for relationship, to include them in what they have. That's an amazing thing. That's incredible. Our God came down and lived on this earth amongst us. He then allowed Himself to be badly treated and put on a cruel Roman cross. He died. He was buried. And He rose again. And after that, ascended. Jesus the man ascended to be with His Heavenly Father again. Incredible. He ever stopped and thought, but why did Jesus have to come? Why did He come? Couldn't God have just made that all happen? Did He just come and die on a cross, pay the penalty for our sin, come back to life and then return to God? Is there more to it? Nathan mentioned earlier, most of us have come across our death in our lives. We've had a loved one. We've had a mother, father, grandparents, aunties, uncles, relatives, friends pass away. As part of dying on this earth, we usually leave a will. So we determine what we're going to leave. What did they leave us when they died? I want to ask you the same question this morning. What did Jesus leave us in His will? What did Jesus leave us when He died? What did He promise? And what do we now have a result of His incarnation, life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension? What was the intended will of God for us? I'm going to give you 60 seconds, and I want you to talk to people alongside you and try and come up with however many you can. Now, you've got 10 fingers. The other person next to you has got another 10, so that's 20. You've got another 10 toes if you need it. See how many, in 60 seconds, things you can come up with. Steve gave us a clue on Friday. Forgiveness, there's one. You can make that your first one, forgiveness. Nathan mentioned a few when he was talking too. All right. I don't know how many you came up with, but I'm sure there were lots of things. I made a bit of a list. Should come up on the screen in a second. You'll find some of the things you thought of in there. You'll find other things, and there'll be things you thought of that I didn't even think of. Peace. Nathan mentioned that one. Jesus' joy. He said, "My joy I give to you." Redemption. Salvation. Unity. Access to God the Father. Home in heaven. Grace and truth. We are made alive in Christ. We are priests. I don't know if you'd thought about that one. Set free from the bondage of sin and the resultant guilt and shame. Holy Spirit, who guides, directs, teaches us, changes us. And the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are not things we try and be. These are things that will be evident in our lives as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. New life, we're born again. A new covenant, replacing the old covenant. Resurrection life, resurrection hope, a guarantee. Jesus rose again and he ascended to be with the Father. The same thing is going to happen to us if we have Jesus as Lord of our life. Sonship, we're sons and daughters of the God Most High. And I think Steve mentioned earlier, eternal life. Eternal life. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life." I'm wondering, what did Jesus say? Jesus came to this earth. What did he say he came for? And if we look at John chapter 17, first few verses. Jesus has just had a huge discussion in the earlier chapter with his disciples about what was going to happen. And one of the things he says in there is your grief. From Nathan's reading, we can see it. Your grief is going to turn to joy. So that's something we have. The end of that section, he says that, end of chapter 16, he tells them, I'm going to go to be with my Father. You're all going to run away from me. Do you know what? I'm not going to be alone. I might seem like I'm alone, but I'm not going to be alone. And then in chapter 17, verse 1, he says this. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." Another reference back to before time began, like in Ephesians. Relationship. All this, all the list of things we had before, all the things we thought about that we have, come out of relationship. That's what Jesus wanted for us. That's what Jesus came for. For us to be able to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. To share the life that exists between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In fact, we have His Spirit within us. if we have come to him and made him Lord of our life, made Jesus the Lord of our life and handed our lives over to God, we have his Holy Spirit within us. This is all made possible because of the incarnation, life, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, the Son of God. Is this not something to get excited about? He is risen. Paul has a great way of putting it. Over in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." Freedom from sin and death. Over in verse 10. "But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Verse 14, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Sons and daughters of the God Most High, our Creator God. He's made that possible. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. All these other things come as a result of that relationship. Peace, joy that Jesus gives, redemption, salvation, unity, access to God the Father, a home in heaven, grace and truth. We are made alive in Christ. We are priests, set free from the bondage to sin and resultant guilt and shame. Remember Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden when God approached them after they'd sinned. They couldn't face him. It was that guilt and shame. Now we can face God in all confidence and we can come before him. We can enter his presence. We have the Spirit of God living within us. That is amazing. That is incredible. The Holy Spirit who guides, directs and teaches us, changes us. The fruit of the Spirit. New life, we're born again. New covenant, resurrection, life. Resurrection guarantee. Sonship. We are sons and daughters of the God Most High. And we have eternal life. What is eternal life? To know God, to have a relationship with our Creator God. The end of that chapter 16 of John. Jesus says to his disciples, "You're all going to run away from me. You're all going to leave me. But you know, I won't be alone. My Father is with me." No matter what we go through in this life, the struggles and trials of life, we can actually have the presence of God with us. And we do have. We have his Spirit living within us. But we can actually really feel God with us. We can sense his presence because he is with us. Jesus said, his Father is with him. He'll never be alone. Right at the end of that same chapter in Romans, chapter 8, couple of verses there I just want to read. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is risen. He is risen. He is. Let's pray. Father, sometimes we travel through this life and we just move along. And sometimes we can just leave you off to the side. It is amazing what you have done for us, our Creator God, who wanted us to have a relationship. Help us to pursue that relationship, to stay close to you, to talk to you about the things of our life, the things that trouble us, the things that we're happy about. Help us to communicate with you and to listen to the voice of your Holy Spirit, to be guided and directed. Thank you that we are your sons and your daughters, and thank you for the Lord Jesus, who came to this earth as a baby, as a man, who lived his life and showed us, revealed you to us, showed us who you are, showed us how to live life, and then gave himself to die on that cruel Roman cross. Thank you, Father, the Lord Jesus rose again. And this special day we have at least once a year. We do it every Sunday, really. But this Resurrection Sunday that reminds us of Jesus' resurrection. Thank you, Father God, that Jesus ascended to be with you. The man, Jesus Christ, is now seated at your right hand. And one day, we as human beings are going to be the same in our resurrected bodies in your presence. Father, right now, here on this earth, we have a share in your life. We are sons and daughters of the God Most High. Help us to live like your sons and your daughters. We commit ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.